Yeah, so we thank God for another good morning that God has given us, and to look at His Word. And we've been, you know, doing the study of the book of Romans. And as we've been seeing, it is a defense of the gospel, and Paul is writing to the church in Rome, a church he hasn't met. And remember, by this time, the church has, you know, has both Gentiles and Greeks, or rather Jews and Gentiles. And so we have a mixed audience. And when you think of the time they were in, they were coming, Christianity was birthed out of Judaism, in that Christ came through Israel. It was God's plan that Jesus Christ will come through the nation of Israel. Now you have to think of how Israel were. Israel were chosen of God. They were the beloved. They were adopted as children of God. God wanted to make a holy nation from them. He gave them the covenants. He showed them His glory. He gave them the law, you know, the law of Moses. He gave them worship. He taught them the worship. He gave them the promises. And He has, you know, through them are the patriarchs. That's Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you know, it is through Christ that comes. Christ comes through Israel. But you see, what we see is that it is God who chose Israel. And one thing that we must see, it was by divine election, or rather it was by God's sovereign election, or by God's choice. And in the chapters 9, 10, and 11 of Romans, Paul starts to give us an understanding, or he now starts to argue on behalf of the Israelites. You understand? He starts to show us, or starts to show the church, that you see, God's plan started with Israel, then included everyone, in that everyone is given a chance to be saved. God's choice started with Israel. Then in chapter 10, we see that God opens up the door where He allows everyone who believes in Him, who applies faith, to be saved. And then He brings them and engrafts them into this holy nation that He has chosen. But remember, when He started with Israel, not all of them believed. Why? Because they did not mix it with faith. They thought they could do it by their own effort. And that is where they stumbled. They stumbled because they thought it was human effort. And you see, the challenge of the law, it was, if you do this, I will do this. If you do this, I will do this. You know, when you look at the blessings of Deuteronomy 28, where it says, I mean, your blessing will be on your food and your water. I will bless your going in. I will bless your coming out. There shall be no barrenness in your midst. You know, there shall be no undying young. All these blessings, you know, blessed in the city, blessed in the countryside. And, you know, all these blessings. And then He also brings the curses. You know, He says, if you do not obey, then I will pour out the curses that I poured out on the Egyptians, all the plagues and all those things. So when the law was poured out, when the law was given, it was based on man's doing. It was based on man's effort. I mean, God said He will do His part if you do His part. But then you see, the Bible tells us that the law was found fault with man because man could not be able to keep and do His part. And then that is why God establishes a new covenant in which we are under, in which He says, I am the one who will wipe away their sins, who will give them the heart of flesh where there was a heart of stone. I am the one who will forgive their sins and remember their sins no more. I am the one who will, you know, write their laws in their hearts, you know, and no longer will someone need to teach his neighbor. So you see, the New Testament or the New Covenant realities are based on God's doing and are based on God's promises. Why? Because He realized that, you see, man and the nature, the sinful nature in man, will not be able to fulfill the law. But you see, what we see in Romans 9, 10, and 11 is that God chose the Israelites, and it is in his sovereign will. And you see, someone will ask, but why did he choose them? You know, why do the Israelites feel like they are the special people and all that? Actually, the scripture tells us that it was not because of their righteousness that he chose them, but it was because of the wickedness of the other nations. In that, God wanted to demonstrate his mercy to a people and to the world that this is a nation that fears me. This is what I can do with the people who honor me, who fear him. And so you see, in these three chapters, we will see a comparison between how the Israelites, God deals with the Israelites, in that he chooses them, he gives them all this adoption. Then they do not believe. Why? They do not believe, and they stumble because they do not depend on faith, but they depend on their own human effort. Then, because they stumbled, then it opens a door for Christ to reach out to all nations. And when Christ, the message of faith is preached, that's the word of faith, the word that brings salvation, the word that is near our mouth, that if we confess with our heart, if we believe in our heart and we confess with our mouth, then we shall be saved. Then we are saved, and then we become this wild olive shoot that is engrafted into the main stem. But then we still see in the end of chapter 11, where he now starts saying that, you know what, even though they have stumbled at this point, don't think that you are better than them, because to them belong the election. To them, they were chosen and loved of God, and God still has a plan. God still has a remnant in them. And in this remnant, he is going to come and restore them. And remember, God comes. When Jesus comes back to rule on the earth for 1,000 years, he establishes his throne in Israel. And he comes to fulfill all those promises that he made to the people of Israel. So there is still a remnant. Remember, even in the time of Elijah thought he was the only one, but God told him, I have 7,000 prophets who have not bowed to Baal, who have not bowed to him. So I have kept for myself. So God has kept for himself, and us, together with the remnant that is in Israel, will be saved completely. So, but you see, as we see the examples of Israel, then we also see the warnings that God gives us. Also, we who are believing by faith, that we must continue and persist in the same faith, knowing that our salvation is by grace and through faith alone. Not of human effort, not of our own justification that we can pride ourselves in, but in the mercies of God. So we've been seeing, you know, the benefits of salvation. We've been seeing the love of God. We have seen how nothing can separate us from the love of God. We have seen how God takes us through suffering and how he gives us power and victory over, you know, over sin, over sinful nature, how he has given us peace, how he has given us the blessings of, you know, of being adopted as sons, as children of God, as sons of God. And then now he now addresses the concern of the Israel. And remember, so you have to understand this church, the Jews that were in the church were wondering, so what does it mean for our brothers who we've left behind? And he starts to show them that you are the remnant that God has chosen out of the Israel, and the true Israel are the new Jerusalem, are the new believers. So we are the true Israelites, the true ones who God has chosen, the true nation. Why? Because we are the nation of faith. So this is the overall summary of these three chapters. And by the grace of God, we shall see the three aspects of it bit by bit. The three aspects of it. And today we'll start with the election part, which is God's choice and how God chose the Israelites, and then unfortunately they did not mix it with faith. So we'll start from chapter 9, Romans chapter 9, verse 1. And it says that, for I am speaking the truth in Christ, I am not lying. My conscience bears me witness in the Holy Spirit, that I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were cast and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers, my kinsmen, according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from their race, according to the flesh, is the Christ, who is God over all and blessed forever. Amen. So Paul starts to give his heart. He starts saying that even Christ bears him witness, that and that he cries out for the Israelites. Why? To them, it's like this, maybe you can say, maybe these are pastors' kids who received every word, who were taught everything, you know, who received the blessing of God. These Israelites, they saw God. They saw the wonders of God. They are the adoption. To them belong the adoption. To them belong the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, the promises, the patriarchs, you know, and even Christ, according to the flesh, is from them. But yet they are cut off. And he's saying that he wishes that if it were him, he would be cut off for their sake. And verse 6 is asked, but it is not as though the word of God has failed, for not all who are descended from Israel belong to Israel, and not all are children of Abraham, because they are his offspring, but through Isaac your offspring shall be named. This means that it is not the children of the flesh who are the children of God, but the children of the promise are counted as offspring. For this is what the promise said, about this time next year I will return, and Sarah shall have a son. And not only so, but also when Rebekah had conceived children by one man, our forefather Isaac, though he was not yet born, had done nothing, either good or bad, in order that God's purpose of election might continue, because it's not of works, but of him who calls. And she was told, the older will serve the younger, as it is written, Jacob I loved, but Esau I hated. Verse 14, what shall we then say? Is there injustice on God's part? By no means, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on whom I have compassion. So then, it depends not on human will or exertion, but on God who shows mercy. It's not of him who willeth or him that runneth, but on God who shows mercy. Verse 17, for the scripture says to Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I might show my power in you, and that my name might be proclaimed in all the earth. So then, he has mercy on whomever he wills, and he hardens whomever he wills. Verse 19, so you will say then to me, why does he still find fault? For who can resist his will? But who are you, O man, to answer back to God? What will what is molded say to its molder? Why have you made me like this? Has the potter no right over the clay to make out of the same lump one vessel for honorable use and another for dishonorable use? What if God, desiring to show his wrath and to make his power known, his power has endured with much patience vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, in order to make known the riches of his glory for vessels of mercy, which he has prepared beforehand, even us, whom he has called not from the Jews but also from the Gentiles? As indeed he says in Hosea, those who are not my people I will call my people, and her who was not beloved I will call beloved. And in the very place it was said to them, you are not my people, they will be called sons of the living God. Verse 27, and Isaiah cries out concerning Israel, though the number of the sons of Israel be as the sand of the sea, only a remnant of them will be saved. For the Lord will carry out his sentence upon the earth fully and without delay. And Isaiah predicted, if the Lord of hosts had not left us offspring, we would have been like Sodom and become like Gomorrah. So I'll stop there. It's a long reading. But let's look at the gist of the reading. We start being told that, you know what? even though we see as if the Israelites are not believing in Christ. And I think if you go to Israel now, you'll find a very small percentage actually believe in Jesus as a Messiah. To them, they're still waiting for the Messiah. They're still waiting for their Messiah. And they don't believe that Christ is the Messiah. And so someone will ask, but is it that the word of God has failed? But you see, it is not so, because God already shows us that it is not all that are children of Abraham are his offspring. Why? Abraham did not have only one child. He had Isaac, he had Ishmael, and even after Sarah died, he married Keturah and had, I think, five other sons like Midian, Canaan. You know, there were other sons that were born to Abraham after Sarah died. So you could, and all this became nations. You understand? God already called him that you will be a father. I have made you a father of many nations. So everyone that came from Abraham is a nation. And so, but you see, it was not every child that came from Abraham that became the child of the promise. They were children of human effort, but then Isaac was a child of the promise. And that's why he was told, through Isaac shall your seed be reckoned. I mean, through Isaac. It was God's choice of Isaac, that it is through Isaac. And then we are also given, furthermore, Jacob and Esau. You know, Isaac had two sons. And even before any of them messed up, even before any of them had done anything wrong, the Bible tells us that Jacob I loved and Esau I hated. He chose Jacob, and the Bible says the younger shall serve the older shall serve the younger. That means Esau was to serve Jacob. And someone will ask, but then if God already has chosen people before they are born, and when we're looking at this, think of yourself. I mean, I want you to place yourself, you that have come to Christ. We already read in Romans chapter 8 that for those who God foreknew, he predestined. And for those he predestined, he called. And those he called, he justified. He gave them right standing with him. And those he justified, he glorified. He put his glory on him. Now, we are these people who are selected. God is showing us our lineage, showing us that when it came to Abraham, we were in Isaac. When it came to Isaac, he took us in Jacob. You know, he took us in Israel. And then even when the Israelites failed, he brought us in Christ. Why? Because he knew us before time. He knew us before time. So likewise also, that is why we believe, and we must constantly know that it is actually God that shows us mercy. Salvation will never be a result of how much righteous or how much effort you have made. And that's why, you know, when you look at verse, you know, the aspects of God's mercy, it says that, for he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I have mercy, and I will have compassion on who I have compassion. Do you think Pharaoh chose to be born an Egyptian? No. Do you think Moses chose to be born an Israelite? No. It is God that shows mercy. The only reason I believe that we are born again, that we came to know the Lord, is just because God showed us mercy. And the place that where we need to stand is we need to plead the mercies of God over those who are lost, over those who are in the world. We need to plead the mercy of God, because at the end of the day, even the one that keeps us in salvation, it is not for us that willeth. It is not a will thing. If you think it is a will thing, you will fail. And that is why the Israelites failed. Because, you know, think of that young rich ruler who came to Jesus and said, all this I have kept since I was a child. And they prided themselves in keeping of the law. Even Paul himself says, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisee, you know, of the breed of the stock of Benjamin, you know, of the richest stock. He considered all those things. But then when he encountered Christ, he realized that all those things amount to nothing. They are works of the flesh. It is not of him that willeth. It is not of him that runneth. It is not of him that exerts himself. But it is of God that showeth mercy. It is God's mercy that we are chosen of him. It is God's mercy that chooses us, that keeps us in salvation. It's God's mercy that sustains us. It is God's mercy that makes us who we are. I mean, the families that we have, the children that we have, when we look at them, when we see the job or the, you know, the business or the things that we see in us, the unique giftings that God has given us, it is just the mercy of God. And the Bible tells us it is him that works in us to will and to do, both to will and to do according to his good pleasure. As long as you constantly depend on God's mercy, you must realize that it is the mercy of God that out of all these lineages, he chose us in Christ. We are descendants of Abraham by faith through Christ. Christ is the real seed of Abraham. And not even that, he is actually the seed of the woman that shall crush the serpent's head. The only reason we have victory is because of faith. And he tells us that, you see, the reason why the Israelites failed is because they did not mix the word with faith. Verse 30, what then shall we say? That the Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness have attained it, that is, a righteousness that is by faith, but that Israel, who pursued a law that would lead to righteousness, did not succeed in reaching that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as if it was based on works. They have stumbled on the stumbling stone, as it is written, behold, I am laying in Zion a stone of stumbling, a rock of offense, and whoever believes in him will not be put to shame. God is telling us that I have chosen you. When you come to Christ, you are chosen. And that is why you'll wonder, how did God arrange all these things for you to encounter him? It is because of his divine election, his sovereign choice, in love that he loved us. And in God's love, we have to exercise faith. Our job is to believe. Our job is to stand on that word, to keep believing that, you know what? It is God that wills. It is God that helps us. It is God's mercy. And by faith. Otherwise, the moment we put in our own effort, the moment we think it is us, the moment we think that, oh, it's because we are righteous, we are being given the example of Israel. They were chosen, yes, but along the way, they thought they could achieve it by their own effort, and then they were cut away. And they were even saying, oh, if God had not left for them a remnant, they would have been like Sodom and Gomorrah. It's God's mercy that calls people who are not his people to become his people, Gentiles. It is God who calls people who are not her beloved to become beloved. It is God who tells the people who are not his people, and he calls them sons of the living God. So I want us to, this is just the first aspect of it. God's choice, God's mercy for the Israelites and for the Jews, and then we'll be able to see tomorrow how, because Israel did not believe, they did not mix it by faith, a door of faith is open for the Gentiles that we can believe in Christ. So I'll stop there and allow any reflections. You're welcome, my sister. Amen. Okay. Fine. Okay. Then let's we can pray. Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you for your word. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your goodness that, Lord, you have shown us mercy. It's not of our effort. It's not of our ability. It's not of our wisdom. It is you that shows us mercy. It is you that guides us. It is you that directs our steps. It is you that walks with us. It is you that directs us. You chose us even before we knew you. You chose us even before we thought of you. You made ways that we will come to encounter the truth. And when we look back, we can see it was your sovereign choice as you chose the Israelites, as you chose Isaac, as you chose Jacob. It wasn't because of anything that they did, but it was because you showed mercy. And indeed, you tell us and you remind us in your word that it is not of him that willeth, or if not of him that runneth or exerts himself, but it is of God that shows us mercy. And Father, today we plead your mercy over our lives. We thank you for the mercy that you pour out over our lives. We thank you that in your mercy you chose us, and we plead for the world. We plead for our family members. We plead for our friends. We plead for our workmates. We plead for the people that we serve. We plead that, Lord, you shall show them mercy, because in every place, in every nation on the earth, in every locality, there is a remnant that you preserve for yourself, that you show mercy to. And I pray that indeed you may pour out your mercy upon us, upon this people, upon unbelievers, upon those that are, you know, struggling with on themselves, on their own human effort, those that are stumbling on their own strength, that, Lord, they may know the truth and experience the truth and come to the truth. I pray even as we go ahead and do our various businesses, that you go ahead of us, protect us, watch over us, keep and sustain us, and may your blessings be upon every one of us. We honor, we adore you, and we give you glory. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Indeed, have a blessed, blessed morning and day ahead. Bye-bye.